Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
He's the beginning to the end, right? And He sees what we don't. Turn your Bibles, if you would, this morning to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to deviate a little bit from our sermon series. But I would remind you again, Making a Difference, our series in the book of Jude. Last Sunday, we touched upon the topic or the subject of the apostasy. And in the end times, the apostasy, we see that it says there in Jude verse 5 that some would turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. As I preached on that, I just wanted to give this morning the positive side or the biblical side of grace. And I know we've done that some this year already and during this pandemic and things that have gone on, just to remind you of the grace of God, how great the grace of God is. And there are many today, again, who are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. In other words, they're using the grace of God as a license to sin, to do whatever they want. That word lasciviousness means no restraint. Whatever feels right, do it. And I'm not talking about lost or those who are unsaved. I'm talking about Christians using the grace of God as a license to do whatever they feel like doing. And listen, I'm glad I'm saved, and I'm glad that once I got saved, I'm always saved. I'm thankful for the grace of God that saved me. But we should not use the grace of God as a license to sin. And so last week we spent a lot of time on that grace was given to us to enable us to live a godly life. Not to as a license, again, to sin and do what we want, but it enables us, empowers us to live a godly life, a separated life, a holy life. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Again, we think about the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, "Thou therefore, my son," we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who should be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." I really want to take the thought, though, out of the first verse, and that again is, "Thou therefore, my son," listen to this, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, be strong in the grace that was given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do again thank you, Lord, for your grace and your unmerited favor. Lord, may we never take it for granted. And God, may we see again clearly that grace is not only there for us at salvation, but it's again there for us as we live our daily lives. We thank you again for the grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace, the definition again is God's unmerited favor. I learned that definition when I was a little kid. 5 or 6 years old. God's unmerited favor, God's unearned favor. But the definition has more to it than just that. It's God's unmerited favor, even unto enablement. Again, it's not just that God has given us grace at salvation and the power of God into salvation, but also the power to live out the Christian life. So we are saved by grace, but we are also, as Christians, as born-again believers, to live by grace. It's, again, the grace of God that empowers us to live a godly life, a life that mimics and imitates the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our goal as a Christian. We are to be imitators of Jesus. Grace, this grace, God's unmerited favor. There was a little boy who came into a grocery store and went in to buy some detergent, and as he was checking out, the cashier said to him, asked him, "What are you using this detergent for?" He said, "I'm going home to wash my cat." Going home to wash my, yes, I'm trying to tell a joke. He said, "I'm going home to wash my cat." And the cashier said, "No, son, that chemical's, that detergent's too harsh. You'll kill the cat." Well, the little boy went home and sure enough washed his cat. A few days later, the same cashier saw the little boy and said, "Hey, little boy, how's the cat?" And the little boy said, "The cat's dead." The cashier said, "Listen, I told you if you washed that cat in that detergent, you would kill it." And the little boy said to the cashier, "Listen, it wasn't the detergent that killed the cat, it was the spin cycle." At times we all feel like we're in a spin cycle, don't we? I mean, life has comes into our life. We think again about the craziness going on in our world today, in America and in our own city and around the world. We just live in a spin cycle many times. We feel like it anyway. And at times we need something beyond our human strength to sustain us, restore us, and strengthen us for life. We need something beyond our strength, and that's the grace of God. It's beyond our strength. It's beyond and it's above our strength. God's grace will strengthen us. It's God's grace that saved us. We were saved by grace, but it's God's grace that restores us and strengthens us for this life. I'm thankful I didn't just get saved so I'd have heaven and I would shun hell. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that because I'm saved, I won't go to hell when I die. My sins have been forgiven. I've been given a home in heaven. I'm thankful for the opportunity to live eternally in heaven. But listen, when I got saved, it impacted my life now, the here and now, for the daily life. And the grace of God is there to strengthen us and enable us, empower us to live in our daily lives, producing for us godliness, renews our strength, sustains our strength. Paul tells Timothy here, and Paul understands and knows. He's telling this young preacher. Again, Paul is Timothy's mentor, and Paul's telling young Timothy, "Listen, Timothy, you're going to face persecution." He understood that. We're in a battle. Endure hardness as a good soldier. There are things that are coming. There's going to be trials and disappointments. But notice he didn't tell Timothy to do his best. He didn't say, "Timothy, hey, just do your best. Whatever you can think you can achieve." No, he didn't. He said, "Be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ." You see, this life, we need more than just our best. We need the grace of God in order to do more than our best. If we are going to live a Christ-like life, we need more than our best. We need the grace of God to empower us to do so. Something beyond our human effort, our human strength. The grace of God. It's the grace of God that enables us to serve. We need grace for service. Grace for service. We all have busy lives. Kids and work and errands and chores. All of us have the list, right? We all have a list. Whether you're retired or still have a day job, we all have a list. I have a things to do list. My things to do list, I usually on Sunday afternoon or even Saturday. Sometimes on Monday morning, but at some point before my week starts, I do my things to do list. I plan out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I've been using the same guide, if you would, the same template of my things to do list for 20 years at least. And I have every one of my things to do lists for the last 20 years. It's stacked about that high. I still have every one of them. Some of y'all would understand I'm that way. I think you could take my things to do list from the last 20 years and kind of just go back and see what was going on in my life and also keep a good calendar. But anyway, so my things to do list, I put my things to do list together. I don't always get everything done that I put down on Monday, but then I'll try and maybe put it to Tuesday and then I move it forward and I keep trying to do those things which are on the list. Our lives are busy. All of us have various things to do. We get busy in this life. We need grace to serve the Lord. In our busyness, many times we find ourselves dropping our service for the Lord. Many times it's the devil who tries to tempt us to stop coming to church or stop serving the Lord in some capacity, whatever that may be. Listen, when you're going through a detour or you're going through a trial, you're going through a disappointment, the last thing you ought to do is stop coming to church. The last thing. I'm amazed at how many people who will start missing church. Usually when you start missing church, especially if it's someone who is attending Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They usually stop attending on Wednesday night, and slowly they'll stop attending on Sunday night, and then finally every other Sunday. And usually it's not just a, you know, just a, but the devil just keeps on tempting them. And I'll go to them and say, hey, what's going on? We miss you very much. And, oh, you know, this has happened in my life. This has happened in my life. And I just didn't feel like coming to church. I said, that's the last thing you ought to do. The last thing you ought to do is stop coming to church. The church is where you need to be if there are disappointments and trials and testings going on in your life. I always tell people, listen, church won't cure everything, but it sure helps. Sure helps to come to church, and God will bless you for being faithful. And sometimes it is, absolutely. Our life gets so busy, and we need strength beyond. In other words, we can't get the list done. It's impossible to get everything done. We can't do everything. We can't do it all. But in Christ's strength, we can be faithful to the Lord in service. Again, grace, that strength to be enabled. Enabling grace, the Lord will energize you to serve effectively. Even during COVID. Just jump in. Reach out. Talk to somebody about Jesus. Stay faithful in your service. Hebrews 12:28. Listen to this verse now. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Notice the context. Grace is given to us to serve the Lord, whereby we may serve God. Hebrews 12:28. Grace is not just for salvation. Grace is also for service. And grace is given to you as a Christian. Grace is given to me as a child of God to serve the Lord, to enable us and empower us to do so. He'll enable you to talk to somebody about Jesus when you don't think you can. He'll give you the unction. He'll give you the power to tell somebody about Jesus when you think you don't have the words to say. He'll give you the words. It's an amazing thing. Grace to serve the Lord, whereby you may serve Him with acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Not only is grace given to us for service, but grace for suffering. For suffering. Most of us know this one. We've preached this one many times about the grace that God gives us during times of suffering. But all of us face burdens in life. All of us face the daily grind of life. I think about the Sphinx in Egypt that is constantly being bombarded by the sand every day and constantly being wore away and wearing down over time. Every day, the daily grind. And I'm telling you, all of us are affected by the daily grind of life. All of us are affected by the daily grind of life. All of us, not one of us here is not affected by the daily grind. Just keeping at it, keeping going. And then, secondly, all of us face out of the ordinary circumstances. When we were studying the book of Ephesians, and we still are on Sunday nights, we talked about there it says, stand, therefore, and to stand in that evil day. That evil day is an out of the ordinary experience. All of us face from time to time an experience that isn't a part of the daily grind. And it may be something like a sickness that comes into your life, or a job loss, or a family problem, a relational problem, a car breaks down, whatever it may be, but we all face those out of the ordinary circumstances, the suffering that we endure from day to day as well as those other circumstances. In those days, the devil tempts us, doesn't he? Tempts us to quit, to throw up our hands and throw in the towel, to ask why. By the way, it's not wrong to ask why per se, as long as you're asking why for God to give you an answer as to why you're going through this. But if you're asking why to God in a defiant measure, why, God, did you let this happen to me? Why would you ask that when you know who He is? He's the God with infinite understanding. He's the God that knows the beginning from the end. He's the God that has the best interest, your best interest in mind. He's the God who's allowed that to happen in your life. He allowed it to happen. And therefore, it's there for a reason. And so therefore, we trust Him. We trust Him for that. And He gives us grace to endure those things, to go through those things. Worry, somebody has said that worry pulls tomorrow's clouds over today's sunshine. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 worry? When you can pray, trust Jesus. Trust Him. Again, He knows the valley you may be in. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And we used this verse several times after the COVID thing started in March. We came to this verse over and over again. I think Brother Nick one night even preached on it. And just, again, very, very, a very encouraging verse. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. And that word power there in the Greek is dynamite. God has given us power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear. That fear that you are feeling, it didn't come from God. The fear that you're feeling about the circumstance going on around you, whatever it may be, whether it's just the craziness going on right now with the election on Tuesday and COVID, whatever it may be, a job, whatever it is, that spirit of fear is not given to you by God. Not giving the spirit of fear. That means if it didn't come from God, where'd it come from? You may need to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and quote a few scripture to him. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Again, he's given us grace, power on the inside. He's working in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. He's working in our hearts. Listen, the outward man perishes, the Bible says there in 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish. Outward men perish. All, the Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die. We're all degrading. We're all going downhill. Yeah? No? We all going downhill. You say, "Well, I'm still on the rise. I'm young." We're all just headed that way. Some faster than others. Right? Nobody wants to talk about it. Death is a real thing. And God gives us grace every day that we need it. As we face this life, every day. I'll never forget, 25 years ago now, I came to Fort Worth from the country. Born and raised in the metropolis of Bowie, Texas. And came to Fort Worth, Texas a little over 25 years ago. When I came to Lakeland Baptist Church, there was a little boy just a few months after that who was in the hospital for leukemia. His name was Matt Pippin. Some of y'all remember him. Matt was about, I don't remember, 8 or 9 years old. He was he came on the bus. He had siblings, his mother. Anyway, Matt was just amazing. He had leukemia, but every time I went to the hospital to visit with him, he had a smile on his face. Yeah. Every time I went to visit him, he had a positive attitude. It was amazing to see this young boy who had been saved at Lakeland Baptist Church, who knew Jesus Christ as his Savior, to see a young boy, 8 or 9 years old, with that kind of attitude and that kind of grace. God had given this little boy grace. Again, no complaints, in pain, going through chemo. He loved to talk about the Dallas Cowboys who came by to visit him. And it just, it was amazing to watch him. And he did die. But God gave him grace. I've sat by many Christians on their deathbed and watched how the grace of God Amen. Influenced their life at the end of their life. I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful that as I've seen it so many times in others, when they've come to that life end, the outward man is perishing. The outward man, this tent is slowly going away. The Bible speaks about our life being a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. But the inward man is renewed day by day. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Listen, we can have grace every day. God will give us sustaining grace, empowering grace every day. When we are weak, God is strong. He makes us strong. He strengthens us. That's great grace. Stories told about a little boy who went shopping with his dad, and little boy grabbed one of those little baskets. You know how the dad was pushing the cart, but the boy grabbed one of those little baskets. And the dad was putting some groceries in this little basket to make the little boy feel like he was being a part of it. And a person walked by and saw this little boy kind of hunched over. There was lots of things in the basket. And the person said to the little boy, "Hey, isn't that basket a little heavy?" And the little boy said to this person, he said, "Listen, don't worry about it, ma'am. My father knows how much I can handle. He knows how much I can handle. My dad knows how much that I can carry. My dad knows how much I can carry. Can I tell you, your Heavenly Father knows how much you can carry? He knows how much you can carry. 1 Corinthians 10:13, and with that temptation, he'll make a way of escape. It's God who has the handle of the thermostat. It's God who has and knows what you're going through, and he always has your best interest in mind. And no matter what you may be facing, and no matter what you may be going through, God knows, God cares, and God will give you grace to go through that circumstance. He'll give you grace, enabling power to go through the circumstance. I'm thankful for his grace. I'm thankful he gives me grace for service, to serve him. I'm thankful he gives me grace during times of suffering. And then, also he talks about giving us grace for our spirit. Many times as Christians, as we have faced trials and detours and other things in life, the daily grind, so many Christians find themselves with a critical spirit. Sometimes we get hurt or something happens to us and we're not forgiving to someone and we hold that bitterness inside and whatever it may be, the circumstances of life, and we become critical. I found myself over the last 2, 3, 4 years in this circumstance, I think. Not I think, I know. My kids and my wife would tell you. I found myself sometimes with a critical and with a negative spirit. The daily grind, the trials of this life can weigh heavily upon anybody. And we need to be careful about our spirit. Our spirit. Don't let your spirit reflect your hurt. We need to understand that we need to have the right spirit. Over time, our spirit becomes depleted. Our spirit becomes depleted. We need a resurgence. We need a renewed spirit. Don't let your spirit reflect your hurt. Turn over to Philemon real quick, and it's just a couple of pages over to the right. Philemon. Maybe you were growing up, you may have called the book Philemon. That's what I called it growing up. Then somebody said it's Philemon. I said, you know what? Don't care. So however you pronounce it, Philemon, Philemon. Here we see the story, again, Paul writing about Philemon. Philemon, Paul had led to the Lord. And then one day Paul found himself in prison again. And when he was in prison, he met Onesimus, who had been Philemon's servant, his slave. So get the point here. Paul had led Philemon to the Lord years earlier. Then in prison, years later, he meets Onesimus in prison and leads Onesimus to the Lord. Leads this slave to the Lord. He finds out that Onesimus had been Philemon's slave and that Onesimus had left Philemon, had fled Philemon's home. And so here's what Paul writes back to Philemon. Look at verse 18. So this is Paul talking about Onesimus. He says, if he, that is Onesimus, hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Paul says, listen, if he owes you, he's done you wrong, which apparently he had. Apparently, again, he had escaped out of the home there. He says, put that on my account, verse 19. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. In other words, I led you to the Lord. You owe me as such. He said, listen, I want you to, basically he's asking you to forgive him. He's asking him to forgive him. Look at verse 25, though. This is the point now. Don't miss this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your what? Spirit. Say it again. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your... The grace of God be with your spirit? Well, we've already read where the grace of God is there to help us in service. The grace of God is there to help us in suffering. The grace of God is there, what? To help us in our spirit. To help our spirit, that we would have the right spirit. That we would have a spirit that reflects the heart of God. Do you have the right spirit? Man, grace can help your spirit. Psalm 51, verse 10. King David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had been responsible for the killing of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. And he had sinned greatly. He was a murderer, adulterer. And he wrote Psalm 51 asking the Lord to forgive him. And he says, Lord, forgive me. And he says, return unto me the joy of thy spirit. In verse 10, he says, renew a right spirit in me. Renew a right spirit in me. Listen, there's times in our life as Christians where we need a renewal. We need a renewal of our spirit, that we need to check ourselves and be careful that we don't have a critical spirit, a negative spirit. You ever get around somebody who's just grouchy and grumpy and just hard to be around, and they call themselves a Christian? Hello? We need to be careful about our spirit. And the daily grind, and those out-of-the-ordinary circumstances that come into our life, and all those things, those hurts that come into our life, many times can just poke holes in us and hurt us over and over and over again, and then we find ourselves in a position where we have a wrong spirit. As Christians, we need to have the right spirit. And the grace of God, he said here, can effect and give you power in your spirit. What does that mean? It means that it's not just about doing your best. In other words, it's this bad spirit, this critical spirit, this pessimistic spirit, whatever you want to call it, if it gets into your life, it may be by means that you can't overcome it. But with the grace of God, you can overcome it. The grace of God will empower you to overcome things and to do things that you cannot do on a human level, on your own strength. Everybody with me? That's the start of the sermon back at the very beginning. Let me go back and read that again. Hang on. At times, we need something beyond our human strength to sustain us, restore us, and strengthen us for this life. What is that? Grace. Beyond our human strength, it's the grace of God that can take your spirit and give you a right spirit. He can take your spirit and give you a spirit of faith. He can take your critical spirit and give you a spirit of hope and a spirit of love and a spirit of kindness. It's the grace of God that will empower you and enable you not to fear and not to doubt, but have a right spirit. Lord, give me grace. Lord, give me grace in my spirit. Lord, help me to have grace, not to have a critical spirit. Lord, help me to have a spirit that is kind and loving and gracious. Help me to have a spirit that's one of hope and of faith. God will do that for you. Beyond your human ability. Beyond your strength. We got to get past this. You say, well, preacher, I'll do my best. Well, God wants more than your best. Sure, he understands our frailties. Sure, he understands our frame. He knows that we're just grass. He knows that we're just dust. He knows that we're just a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. He understands and he knows that, yes, but he asks us to be holy. You cannot be holy in your own strength. You cannot be an imitator of Christ in your own strength. You can't have a right spirit all the time in your own strength. We need the grace of God. And it's there for free. You don't have to earn it. He just gives it to you. He just gives it to you. How's your spirit today? 2 Thessalonians. So turn over just a few more pages to your left. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to see these verses because I want to see that absolutely they're connected to the grace. We saw the verse there in Hebrews, grace for service. We've seen this verse there and Philemon about having the grace of spirit. We talked about the grace of suffering. Here we see the grace that connected to hope. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 16 says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through what? Grace. And good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. Good hope through grace. How are we to have hope? Through grace. He enables us to experience and have the spirit of hope. You know what that means? It means in the trial, in the disappointment, in that detour in your life, you can have joy. You can have hope. It means you can be livable. By that I mean other people can live with you. How's your spirit this morning? Just sometimes we're blind to it. As I said, I've dealt with this over the last 3 or 4 years, and I've tried and understand that I need grace to have a right spirit. We need a right spirit. Lastly, we need to understand that grace is there for our supply. Our supply. You ever raising kids, you go to the refrigerator every once in a while and you find the refrigerator empty. You just went to Sam's. I mean, you bought enough for a month. And you come home, and where are all the snacks? And where are all the stuff? It's gone. You're going to have to go replenish your supply. Right? Especially, we raised 3 boys, teenage boys. I mean, good night. You know? You bought a gallon of milk yesterday, but it's gone today. Where'd it go? A box of cereal. I could eat a box of cereal by myself anyway. But. A box of cereal, gone. We need to go to the store and replenish our supply. Listen, the grace of God is there to replenish our energy, if you would. There, the Holy Spirit gives us the grace of God to replenish, to give us supply. I'm thankful this morning for salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9, I've quoted it last Sunday, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not at works, lest any man should boast." Salvation is by grace, God's unmerited favor. I don't earn salvation. It's given to me as a free gift. Thank the Lord. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to be. I don't have to get baptized. I don't have to be a member of any church or any denomination. I don't have to. When I get to heaven, my good works and my bad works are going to not be weighed. And then if my good works outweigh my bad works, I get to go to heaven. No, salvation is found by grace through faith. It's given to us. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself." It's a gift of God, not a works lest any man should boast. We are all sinners. The Bible says, as is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned. All of us are selfish in our nature. All of us are selfish in our nature and have come short of the standard. The standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's perfection. But thank the Lord, for the wages of sin is death. Because of our sin, the payment of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We find salvation through Jesus Christ. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you can look back and you say, "Yes, at the age of 6 years old, the age of 20 years old, the age of 35 years old, whatever time it was, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I accepted Him by grace through faith." I hope you know you're saved this morning. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. He died and was buried and rose again that He might pay for our sins, that we might escape hell and have a home in heaven. The greatest day of my life is when I got saved at the age of 6 years old. Greatest decision you'll ever make is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. By grace, He supplies salvation. By grace, He supplies help. Turn over just a few pages to the right to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. So grace, again, supplies salvation to us. Grace, again, helps, supplies help to us. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest," it's talking about Jesus Christ, "that has passed into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession of faith," our profession. Listen, Jesus Christ, who is our high priest, is passed from earth to heaven. He's gone to heaven. He's there at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at the rest of it, verse 15. "For we have not a high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy," and listen to this point, "and find grace to help in time of need, to find grace to help in time of need. The grace of God is there to help us in our time of need. Listen, we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, who's been touched by our infirmities, who has been tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Listen, Jesus Christ came to this earth, that God became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God became flesh. He dwelt among us. He humbled Himself, the Bible says. And was all points tempted like we are. Tested. Do you understand this morning that Jesus Christ knows what it's like to hunger? He's at the right hand of the throne of God. He understands what it's like to be hungry. Do you understand that Jesus Christ understands what it's like to feel pain? The God of the universe knows what it feels like to have pain inflicted upon Him. Do you understand that Jesus Christ knows what it's like to be tired? I mean to be dead dog tired. I'm talking about tired, wore out, serving all day long, tired, no place to lay His head. Do you understand that He knows what it's like to be betrayed? He understands what it feels like to be betrayed. He knows what it feels like to have somebody stab Him in the back. He knows what it's like to feel lost. He wept. He knows what it feels like. I want to remind you, though, that He did so without sin. He was tempted, yet without sin. Understand that Jesus Christ could not have sinned because He was God. God can't sin. You say, well, then why was he tempted then? He was tempted to show that he was God. to prove that He was God. You understand that though He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin, that He did not have an allurement to sin. There was no attraction there for Jesus to sin. You know, I love those pecan pies that people made for me during COVID. I had 3 of them. When I had COVID when I was in quarantine for 10 days, I gained 2 pounds. I didn't lose weight, I gained weight. Chocolate pecan pies. Listen, my flesh has an attraction for things that I should not eat. Do you understand that Jesus didn't have an attraction for anything that He shouldn't do? It's hard for us to comprehend. It didn't even attract Him. It's kind of like a magnet. He wasn't magnetized towards it. It had no appeal to Him. He was God. He had no sinful nature. I have a sinful nature. That's why I sin. That's why I do wrong. Jesus Christ was born without a sinful nature, and therefore no attraction to sin, no desire to sin. He was sinless in disposition. He was sinless in desire. He was sinless indeed because He was sinless in desire. Just want to make sure this morning you understand that Jesus Christ was sinless and Jesus Christ could not have sinned, had no desire to sin, but yet was tempted like us. In other words, He felt pain. He felt hunger. He got sleepy. He got tired. His heart broke. And then He says, to find grace to help in time of need. I'm thankful there is grace there in my time of need. There's grace there in my time of need. Listen this morning. God's given us grace, unmerited, unearned, to enable us to live the Christian life. To enable us to serve Him. He says to young Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, you can do beyond what human effort can do. You can do beyond, and you can do above what your own strength will do if you'll just simply live by grace. Listen, you've been saved by grace, but you are to live by grace. It's the grace of God that replenishes our strength. The inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Every day we receive more grace. We can receive more grace. grace one more time. Here comes Jesus. Oh, Johnny Flanagan song. Here comes Jesus with his grace again, just about the time I need it. Grace comes every time you need it. Little Matthew Pippin there in Children's Hospital, Cook's Children's Hospital, little 8-year-old. God gave him grace every day. It was amazing to watch. God will give you grace in your time of need. God gives you grace, gives you strength. He can take a bad spirit and make it a better spirit. He can supply the need of salvation. Hope you're saved this morning. And he'll give you help when you need it. He'll supply grace when you need help. Dear Lord, give me grace. Maybe today you're here and you're going through a difficult circumstance, whatever it may be. Maybe it's just the stuff going on in our world today that's got you in a place of fear. Listen, that's not God giving that spirit of fear. He's giving you the spirit of love and joy of sound mind. May we rely and depend upon and honestly ask for his grace as we serve him, as we suffer, as we face obstacles in this life, as we face that, may we have a right spirit and then understand that he'll supply the grace that we need. Let's all stand. Hymn 154, Jesus is calling. How is your spirit today? How is your spirit today? Maybe you need to come down and just pray, God, give me grace in my spirit. Help me to have a right spirit. Maybe here you're suffering or you're not serving as you should. Come down and pray and God give you grace to serve. Maybe tonight, this morning, you just need to pray that God help you in your time of need. Give you grace. He'll do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace that you give us just the time in which we need it. And Lord, we ask for your help this morning. Lord, if there's someone here who does not know you as Savior, maybe they're watching online, maybe they're not saved, they've never had your grace applied to their life, Lord, may they do so today. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchaslett.org.